So it's been a wonderful morning and early afternoon. And just a confession that I had to make was, actually not a confession, but Shyamalan Prabhu and myself, Shyamalan Prabhu was going to give his class, and I was following after some time. So I met a person that I know. All of you all also must be knowing, a few of you all. He said, "Prabhuji, what are you going to speak on?" I said, "Understanding Krishna's pastimes." He said, "If you don't mind, can I give a frank suggestion?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Yes." He said, "Since morning, that's what we had. Understanding, understanding, and understanding." So I said, "That's what is important." Govind Prabhu began with the wonderful explanation, the mood, how one can deviate from the philosophy, followed by Gaurang Prabhu's 5 D's. And ultimately, he concluded, some part of his conclusion was that Janmashtami is at the time of death when you can remember Krishna also, that is, Krishna takes birth there. And then Gaur Gopal Prabhu gave reasons for Krishna's appearance. 5 explanations again. And he said, "Why Janmashtami only one day? Janmashtami can be every day." So now Janmashtami is at a time of death, Janmashtami is every day. So I'm wondering, where should Janmashtami, I explain Janmashtami as? What does that leave? So then Shyamalan Prabhu was explaining how, along with him, we are trying to enter into Vrindavan. And please, if you can bear with me, we will do a small interactive session now. Just 1 or 2 minutes. And I'll give the explanation later on. Please bear with me. Sometimes the vata goes into the head, the air. So what I'm going to... Please listen to my instructions carefully and try to follow it. Right now all of us are sitting down. I would want all of you all to get up in your places. Just stand up for some... Just please follow my instructions. Please listen. Now everyone is facing towards the speaker. Please face towards the altar. There we see Radha Gopinath, and we also see Krishna there, baby Krishna. Now we all of us have got 2 hands. Please clap. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Please remain standing. We have got a nice mouth, 32 teeth, 33 teeth. Please laugh loudly. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Thank you. Now we are all going to sit down, but we have 2 hands and 2 feet. So please sit down such that you are on 2 hands and 2 feet, your knees and your hands, in a crawling position. Thank you very much. The next would have been you should crawl, but with less of lack of space. This is what they are doing in Gokul today, in Vrindavan. So right now, we have entered Vrindavan through this interactive session. By the mercy of Shyamalan Prabhu. And when I suggested a topic, understanding Krishna's pastime, I literally meant the meaning of understanding. We are going to stand under Krishna's pastimes only. We are going to take shelter of Krishna's pastimes. So, taking off from where Shyamalan Prabhu left, Akrurji Maharaj is coming in this wonderful mood to Vrindavan. And then he meets with the devotees of Vrindavan. He explains his mission and thank you. Obviously, there is a big furor. If somebody came here and told us, we are taking away Radha Gopinath, what would you do? You know, somebody said, I'm come here, I'm a good friend, I like all of you, but right now I'm going to take away Radha Gopinath. It's impossible, but just imagine. That's what Akrurji was coming to tell the residents of Vrindavan. And we have some flickering affection for Krishna, small amount of spark. And still we feel so much for Shri Radha Gopinath ji. Right? We have taken out a wonderful time to come here, a whole day to spend for just for their pleasure, for Krishna's appearance. And what is our affection? Our affection is nothing. It is not even a particle of a drop of the affection that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. And Akrur is going to come and make a presentation, allow Krishna and Balaram to come with us. It's a heart-rending scene, not for us, for Akrur. Just imagine his situation. He's a devotee and he has to do that. So obviously everyone in Vrindavan does not believe him, but when they see that actually means it, and plus there is the order of Kansa, who is the king of the entire province, and everyone knows how Kansa can be cruel. So both, there is Kansa's pressure, and the residents of Vrindavan know that if it were just for us, it's all right. But Kansa may destroy our houses, he may destroy the cows, he may destroy the pasture lands, he may destroy everyone in Vrindavan. So devotee is never selfish, even if they are, you know, they have so much of a... They always think about the welfare of other living entities too. That was one aspect. And the other aspect was, no one in Vrindavan believed that Krishna could live away from them. Everyone in Vrindavan, Yashoda, Mai, Nanda, Baba, they never thought that it would be possible that Krishna would one day live away from them. It was just like, Krishna would always be with them. So that whole day passed in just these discussions. And towards dusk, because Akrurji was such a worshipable guest, they gave him a nice place to stay. But no one in Vrindavan spent that night sleeping. They were all wondering what would happen tomorrow. Right? Just like we were all wondering yesterday night, what would happen today in the morning. But we had great expectations of darshan. For them, the expectation was having no darshan anymore. To cut the story short, finally it was decided Krishna Balaram would go, because Krishna convinced them, I will come back. Don't you worry, I am going to come back very early enough. So they sit on the rath and everyone leaves. And Chakravarti Thakur Pad, he gives a very wonderful understanding. He says that, those who are in the paternal affection, the fraternal affection, like Nanda Baba, Yashoda Mai, actually Yashoda Mai, the ladies with this motherly affection, they knew that Krishna could not live independent of them. Therefore, from their heart, they knew he would go in the morning, just as every day he goes to the pasturing glands, and by evening he would grounds, and in the evening he would return back, because then he had to be fed, he had to be taken care of. But the gopis, because they also, the young girls who attached him, because they had that intense affection, even during the daytime, they would have opportunities to meet him. They were the most affected. And they followed the rath for quite some distance. And there is a nice usage of words. There is a rath, which is a chariot, physical chariot, and there is a manorath, chariot of the mind. And the Bhagavatam explains that the gopis, at one point of time, they knew they could not cross the limits, the boundaries of the village or whatever. They stopped there. But then they had this manorath. They got onto the chariots of the mind and let their minds follow Krishna. Just like devotees have a problem when they have practitioners. They follow the mind. Wherever the mind goes to the sense objects. But with the residents of Vrindavan, they follow Krishna with their minds, wherever Krishna goes. And they followed him with their minds, always thinking about Krishna. So since Krishna and Balaram were going, the elderly cowherd men, they decided that this is a nice time to pay our respects to the king of Mathura. And obviously these boys cannot go alone, so we'll also accompany them. And the boyfriends of Krishna, they also thought, this is a nice opportunity to see a town. We would also go. They wanted to see the town. Like people from the villages, they want to see Bombay. So for the Brajavasis, the village covered boys, Mathura was like Bombay, without its negativities there, except Kansa. So they accompanied him. And Bhagavatam describes that they started at dawn. The next day at dawn, they started off. And then they came to the river Jamuna. Krishna and Balaram got off the chariot and they touched the water. Upasprishya. They sanctified themselves. They touched the water. They did their religious activities that as they performed to set an example. And then they got back onto the chariot. Akrura led the chariot to some other distance and seeing a small pool that had been formed by the rivers of the water Jamuna, he decided to take his bath there. And as he was taking his bath, he saw a very wonderful vision. And it is explained why Akrura had that vision. What was the reason behind it? As he was going towards Vrindavan, as he was having so many doubts, so many things in his mind going on, and finally took shelter of Krishna, as he was leading them away from Vrindavan, he got into this mood that I'm leading them away to their deaths maybe. I'm leading them to Kamsa. They are simply small young boys. And they are believing me. I am their uncle. I know they are God. I know. But still. So here is his affection. That affection that a devotee has. Which is above the platform of Aishwarya. Or opulence of Krishna. Takes over. The natural affection that he has. Which covers over the greatness in the mood of Aishwarya that is there. And he starts feeling himself as the protector of Krishna. How can I lead them there? What will happen? But if I don't lead them, anyways Kansa is going to capture them. So he has his doubts. So when he enters the Jamuna to take his bath, there he sees a wonderful vision. He sees Krishna and Balaram within the waters. He says, what? He gets out of the Jamuna and sees them still on the chariot. He says, this is amazing. Then he gets back into the water. And then he sees thousand hooded Ananta there. Beautiful white with his ornaments all over decorating him. And Lord Vishnu, Shesha Shai, lying on that. Then he understands. Krishna is assuring me, don't worry. What to speak of me? If Ananta moves one of his heads, there will be a big tsunami everywhere. So this is only Mathura with Kansa there. So rest assured. So he gave that assurance to Krishna gave that assurance to his devotee. Then don't you worry. Everything will be alright. So armed with that vision and that understanding of Krishna, they enter the outskirts, they come near the outskirts of Mathura. And there they meet Nanda Maharaj. And Sridhama and Sudama and all the cowherd community who had come. Reason being that since Akruraji had stopped to take his bath, everyone else moved forward. See, Krishna's pastimes is very natural. If we can really visualize it, it's very easy to understand how activities take place. It's just a natural day-to-day activity. Right? I was on a trip with one of our God brothers, 3-4 of us. And I can understand how natural this activity is. Sometimes one or two of us would be little tired, so we'll stop. And this particular God brother would say, no time, we have to go ahead. And then we had to keep pace with him. And sometimes if we could not keep pace with him, then he would say, all right, I'm going ahead and I'll wait for you there. If you're not there, then you can come to this place, address. So it is natural. We have experience. So that is how the cowherd men all went ahead. And Krishna and Balaram, they came behind with Akruraji. So there was a nice reunion. Ah, Krishna, you have come. Very nice. And this was just early morning. They were reaching very fast towards Mathura. So then Nanda Baba, everyone together, they decided we'll go enter the town of Mathura. So since Akrura had been armed with this vision and his understanding of Krishna now reassured, he felt, I am so close to the place where I am staying, my house has always seen the association of Kamsa and the like. My house has always been impure by their visitations. Somehow I could not, the diplomatic relations that we had, I could not stop that. But here is a supreme personality of Godhead come here along with Ananta Shesh, his younger brother, his expansion. Why should I miss this opportunity? Just like sometimes devotees, especially sannyasis, brahmacharis, they have this experience. As soon as you go to a place, a new place, people ask him, please for 5 minutes, shop. Just place your feet there, you know. 10 minutes, please come to our house. Right? They express their emotions. That saintly visit would be very nice. So Akrura Ji is taking this opportunity. Please come to my house and place a lotus feet there. This very lotus feet, Mother Ganges washed this feet, and those waters are taken on the head by Lord Shiva. And in so many words, he expresses how, if Krishna would place his lotus feet in his house, he would be very much enlivened. So Krishna is very much inclined to his devotees and would do whatever his devotees want to do. But here, Krishna, the verses are very nice. The word, it means, Krishna is telling him, I'll definitely come to your house, but after I have killed the enemy of the Yadus. You see, you're a Yadu. You're from the dynasty of the Yadavas. If I come to your house, Kamsa may take it otherwise. It may be detrimental for you. And my first business here is, I've not come here for visiting your house. First, let me do what I've come for. And then when there is time, I'll do other things. My first business here is, I want to kill Kamsa, the king of the enemy of the Yadus. Right? So as Shyamananda Prabhu was explaining, Kamsa is thinking that everyone from the Yadu clan is his enemy, except Akrura, because he's going to follow his orders. And who are his friends? The outsiders. And from Krishna's point of view, Kamsa is the enemy for all the Yadu clan. Right? And that is called paradigms. You know, different paradigms. People are talking of paradigm shifts. We don't need to shift. All we need to, as Prabhupada would say, no need to research. Everything has been searched. Just accept that. So all we need to do is accept Krishna's paradigms. How he sees. And everything automatically shifts. Everything automatically is in place. So Akrura has to agree. So he goes to his house and is praying within his heart. Everything turns out well. Krishna, he tells Danda Baba and others, Baba, we are in a new town, and obviously, you know, I've got my license. I'm a major, I can vote. I have my friends. So we are going out alone. We don't need you around. We are going sightseeing. Just young boys. Just friends. Yes. So all these friends, they go on a sightseeing tour of Mathura. Now generally when villagers come to a town and they are on a sightseeing tour, there is always a chance of being cheated, isn't it? Always a chance of being cheated. Like once a villager came to the city of Bombay and he was really amazed seeing all these skyscraper buildings, 30 floors, 40 floors. In his town he had never seen anything above 2 floors. So just so that he could explain to everyone back home that he had actually seen, he started counting those floors. How many I saw? This building so much. He was counting those floors. So as he was counting one particular building, the number of floors in that building, one person approached him. And he said, what are you doing? He said, I'm counting these floors. Huh? Don't you know there is a law here? In Bombay, if you count floors, as many floors you count, you have to pay per floor 100 rupees. This person said, I did not know this. The city is really very strange. He said, I don't know. If you don't know the law, that does not mean that the law does not work. You know, that is the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita. The law will act. How many floors did you count? He said, 10 floor, 1,000 rupees. He said, some concession. He said, no concession, 1,000 rupees. If you go to the court of law, if you ask for concession, he'll say 1,500. It will immediately increase, 1,000 rupees. So the poor fellow had to pay 1,000 rupees. He went back to his village and said, Bombay is a crazy city, you know. Craziest of the places. Why? They charge you money for counting the number of floors that are there. I had to pay 1,000 rupees. But this city people, they think we are stupid. But they are actually stupid. They never drink pure cow's ghee or milk, you know. So they are stupid. They don't have the brains. Why? I actually counted 30 floors, but I told him only 10. So village people are very simple. Very simple minded. So Krishna, he tied his dhoti tightly. He told his friends, all right, come on. Let us go around. And they are going around. Hey, just see that. Hey, just see that festoon. Just see that house. Just see these people. He's wearing a turban. Nice, just something like that. They're just walking around Mathura, enjoying the sights. What I'm going to do is, this I should have said in the beginning, is I'm going to take you on a 2 days tour of Mathura, maybe in the next half an hour. A 2 days tour of Mathura. We just visited Gokul Vrindavan in 2 seconds, 2 minutes. And remaining time, 2 days tour of Mathura, but with a very wonderful person, Krishna. We are going to tour Mathura with him. Krishna's Mathura and Vrindavan. So then, when the residents of Mathura came to know that Krishna and Balaram had come, it had a tremendous effect on them. Tremendous effect. Right? And it's easy to imagine. Just think, if somebody says, Srila Prabhupada's disciple so-and-so is coming. Anything that's interesting, one leaves and goes and sees. Oh, such an exalted personality is coming. So because they had heard so much about Krishna's activities, his exalted pastimes, the same effect that was described previously by Shukdev Goswami when Krishna would perform activities like playing the flute or etc., 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 the residents of Mathura also had the same effect just by hearing that Krishna and Balaram had come along with their friends. Those who were eating, they stopped eating halfway and got up. Those who were dressing, they forgot to put on the complete dress and they came to see Krishna and Balaram. Those who were caring for their babies, they put their babies down and came rushing to see Krishna and Balaram. Those who were anointing themselves with different cosmetic arrangements, they did only half and came to see Krishna and Balaram. In this way, they were attracted just to have a vision of Krishna and Balaram. The women especially, they gathered on the roof of the houses and from there they were showering flower petals on Krishna and Balaram as they were passing by. And on the road, as Krishna and Balaram were coming, the Brahmanas were waiting with arati plates to properly worship the Supreme Lord. So there is proper society arrangement here. Everyone is situated in their proper positions and they are having their proper darshan of Krishna and Balaram and satisfied. Sometime back we were in Vrindavan and one of the complaints that was received by our devotees when we were on yatra is we don't pay attention who's coming to as soon as the Mangalarti starts. You know, you just push forward. So we are asked, please can you wait till some senior devotees come? So there is some norms in society, some etiquette in society. When it is properly followed, it is very beautiful. And everyone is satisfied. And we can see from Krishna's pastimes how this is so wonderfully arranged. Everyone is satisfied. The women are satisfied. The brahmanas are satisfied. The men are satisfied. Everyone is satisfied. Everyone has proper darshan of Krishna and Balaram. And Krishna and Balaram, very in a frolicky mood, they are walking down. Krishna is casting his wonderful glance on everyone and everyone is describing, just look at the son of Yashoda, just look at Balaram. They're describing them in so many wonderful ways. Their attire, their walk. And as they're walking down this road in Mathura, they come face to face with a person who's carrying a lot of clothes. He was a washerman by profession. So as soon as Krishna and Balaram see this washerman with the clothes, they say, why don't you give us these clothes? We want to wear them. And when this washerman hears that, he becomes very angry. Why does he become angry? Because this washerman was the personal washerman, the personal dhobi of Kansa. And because he was a personal dhobi of Kansa, all that he had in his head was a gobi. It's a flower. What is gobi called? A cauliflower. But no scent, no practically any taste, nothing attractive about it. That was how this washerman was, this dhobi. So, when he heard these words of Krishna and Balaram, he said, "You impudent boys, you are accustomed to roaming the mountains and forests, and yet you dare put on such clothes as these? These are the king's possessions that you are asking for." And special word on which commentary has been given is Udavritaha. Udavritaha means you are so impudent. Your vartan, your activity is so utavritaha, vritaha. Or your activities, your speech, your behavior is so insolent that you are asking for the king's dress. So Chakravarti Thakur says that actually anything that comes in contact with Krishna has to be pure. Therefore, these words, as they were manifesting out of the mouth of the washerman, Mother Saraswati purified them by giving another meaning to it. And he says that Udavrita means somebody who has very nice charitra or character, who elevates the character of everyone else. So what this washerman is saying, that you boys are used roaming in the pure land of Vrindavan, which is wonderful mountains and pasturing grounds. It is not good that you put on the dress of a rascal like Kansa. Because your character is so nice. You are of such good character. And then he again chastises them and says, "Fools, get out of here quickly. Don't beg like this if you want to stay alive. When someone is too bold, the king's men arrest him and kill him and take away all of his property." So before the king's men come and I complain to them, "Get away, I am being very merciful on you." So because of that ahankar, that association of being, that upadhi that he has, "Who are you?" "The king's washerman." Right? Once a man was asked, "What do you do?" "I work in the city of Bombay." "Where do you work?" "I work in one of those buildings on Nariman Point." "Really? Which floor do you work on?" "On the same floor as the managing director of this so-and-so company. I work on the same floor." So everyone was impressed. So who was this man? This man was the peon of this managing director. He worked on the same floor, obviously. And he worked in the building in Nariman Point. Right? But because I am the peon of the managing director, the upadhi is there. "Who are you?" "I am working at Nariman Point in this building on the same floor as the managing director." Right? So this upadhi is an obstacle for someone who wants to accept the inherent mood, which is the actual constitution of the living entity, the mood of surrender. Upadhi is a big hindrance. And even if Krishna comes in front of us and says, "Will you give this?" "Who the hell are you? Why do you come?" And hence, sarvo upadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam. If our seva has to be accepted by the Lord of the senses, and we have to do seva service through the senses, important to remove the upadhi that is born of material attachments. The only upadhi that is important is das, 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 and das. The living entity cannot live without upadhi. He has to take shelter somewhere. So, again, Mother Saraswati is giving another meaning to that. He uses the word balishaha, your young fools, young children, don't know what you are saying. So, Chakravarti Pad says that what he's saying is, "I remember that once upon a time you were associated with Bali, that great king of the Daityas. And when you visited him, you took away everything from him and sent him to the lower planets. Similarly, now because you have come to me, you may take everything from me. And because of that, the king's men will become angry with me and send me to the lower planets, into the prison cells. So he is saying, please, therefore go away fast. I don't want to lose. Sometimes, yeah, it's the mood. I remember once I was talking with a devotee and we were discussing that how it is so important that we surrender. And we were at the land, in the land of Vrindavan, the most important place, the highest place. And in the land of Vrindavan, we were in the highest place, Govardhan. And in Govardhan, we were the highest place, Radhakund. And we are hearing the highest philosophy there, that how Radhakund is a manifestation of pure surrender to Krishna. So therefore, we should pray here, whatever we can pray. There are so many words to pray. So discussing, and we said, did you pray? And one point that arose out of the discussion was, I did pray. When we entered the waters of Radhakund, we did pray. Please, O Srimati Radharani, whatever anarthas there are there, immediately remove that from our hearts and let me take complete shelter of you. And as soon as we prayed that, we became afraid that if she removes all the anarthas, that means we'll die immediately and give up this body. We came out immediately after Radhakund, not now, after some time. The fear of giving up totally unto Krishna, that which we are attached to now on the material platform, makes a living entity stop his total surrender unto Krishna. Not now. Not now. After some time, definitely. So the washerman is explaining in so many ways. Sometimes, you know, it would be very useful if we could have Mother Saraswati also bringing out different meanings from our words, you know. Sometimes, I remember once, I had gone to someone's house and this person, somehow we did not like each other, at least see each other's faces directly. So he was a family man and I went to his house, I had some work, so I knocked on his door. And his son answered and asked, is your father at home? And he said, my father told me to tell you that he's not at home. And I was wondering, really, Mother Saraswati could have given a different meaning to his words now. The father must be thinking if some different meaning could come. Because it's quite embarrassing. My father told me that he should tell you that he's not in the house. Right? So there are occasions where we feel that Mother Saraswati would be benevolent on us also. But it is only when we offer things to Krishna, if there is some hindrances, if there is some blemish there, that is when Mother Saraswati makes it pure enough to be offered into the lotus feet of Krishna. So at that time, when Krishna saw that this washerman was speaking in this brazenly manner, the son of Devaki became angry. And then merely with his fingertips, he separated the man's head from his body. Just with his fingertips. And really, Krishna fulfilled the statement, off with his head. You know, in English there is a statement, off with his head. There is Alice in Wonderland and the mad queen, or someone was dead. And the queen always had to say, anyone who came in front of her, off with his head, off with his head. But Krishna completely fulfilled the queen's desire, off with his head. And immediately the head rolled off and the washerman was dead. And this is how Krishna entered Vrindavan. The first person who came to him, off with his head. Purified him. In a way that could not be understood by him. Then, those who were along with the washerman, his accomplices, his servants, they all became very afraid. They threw all the clothes there and they ran away. So Krishna and Balaram, they said, all right, there is a sale now. Complete. You know, sale, no charges, anyone who wants to choose anything can choose. And they had the choice of the king's clothes there. And Krishna and Balaram, they took the choicest of the dresses and wore it on their bodies. And they felt very happy. Somehow or the other, Kansa did some service. His clothes did some service to Krishna. As soon as Krishna entered Mathura, they served Krishna and Balaram by being on their bodies. Then Krishna said, all right. This is the wonderful thing with Krishna, you know. Krishna is totally detached from everything. And anyone who stays with him is also totally detached. I mean, if you see an incident like that, for some time you're going to be affected, isn't it? But Krishna said, so now where do we go for sightseeing? Which place? We have not seen this place. Let's go there. So everything is enjoyable when we are with Krishna. There's not a tinge of duality. Not a tinge of duality. One is not affected by the negative qualities anyway. Immediately, one is in Vaikuntha, where there is no misery, no unhappiness. Everyone is happy. Yes, Krishna, let us enjoy. Go, let us go ahead. So then Krishna comes to the shop of another person. And as soon as this person sees Krishna, he says, wait, I have something for you. And brings nice cloth ornaments to decorate Krishna and Balaram's body. Gold frills and different ways, embroidered accessories to properly decorate the clothes that Krishna and Balaram were wearing in such a way that their features would be more accentuated, more beautiful. Krishna and Balaram became very happy. And since he had offered it just without being asked, they blessed him. May you always have nice sense enjoyment. May you, your strength never fail you. May all your desires be fulfilled. And after you give up this life, you will come back to my loka, to my planet, and attain a form just like me. Sarupya Mukti. Just because this washerman felt that I should offer such nice things to Krishna and Balaram. So Krishna and Balaram became very happy after that and they went ahead. Then they came to a florist whose name was Sudama. I've been trying to research on this word Sudama. It's really, so we can understand that Dama, really there is the Sudama Vipra, wonderful person. There is Sudama, Krishna's friend. And there is this Sudama. Everywhere the word Sudama comes, it is a very wonderful devotee. So therefore this word Sudama must mean very nice. Obviously Dama means sense controlled. One who has controlled his senses. Sudama must be a person who is really very Krishna conscious. That name must be fitting him. But that is my speculation. The research is still going on. Maybe somebody would like to do it. Nice topic. So Sudama, the florist. The weaver's name is not given. The washerman's name is not given. Sudama's name is given. And I don't know the reason why. Somehow it is there. So then Sudama, the florist, came forward and said, my dear Lord, and he started glorifying Krishna. How you are the master of all that is. You are the source of everything. You are the Supreme Lord. Although you are equal to everyone, still you bestow your mercy on your devotees, especially. And he was glorifying Krishna with choice words. And Krishna Balaram became very pleased. And they said, we are happy with you. Now whatever you think, in that way you may please us. And Chakravarti Thakur says that Sudama Brahman understood Krishna's indication. And Prabhupada explains this way of thinking. He says this is first class. First class person means he knows what his master wants even before the master asks for it. A second class person is one who does only when the master says, this is what I want. And a third class person does not do it even after the master says it. So obviously the Sudama florist is on the platform of first class because he understands Krishna's indication and immediately brings out nice flower garlands and offers it to Krishna and Balaram. But Chakravarti Thakur says that Sukadev Goswami is using the word mal. He's using a singular word there. For garland, using a singular pronoun? Grammar, pronoun? Singular, plural? What is it? Noun. Singular noun. And he says, why? Because Sudama, he knows Krishna is the source of everything, Balaram is the expansion. So he's offering a special garland to Krishna. And along with that, he's offering another garland to Balaram. So please understand. Please understand. And Vaishnava philosophy, Krishna consciousness, there is always natve vaham jatunasam natvam neme janadipa. Even among the Vishnu tattvas,
there is individuality, not that everything is one. And because Sudama is on the first class platform, he is the person who knows how to destroy Mayavad simply by his activity of making a garland. He offers a beautiful garland to Krishna and another to Balaram. And therefore, most probably, that is why his name has been named here. He knows what Krishna is wanting. What is Krishna's desire? Krishna wants him to establish philosophy and Krishna wants to accept service from him. So then, Krishna is nicely decorated. And this series of events is very nice because when a person goes to a new place, especially a place that he wants to see on a sightseeing tour, first he dresses nicely, then he ornaments himself, and then he wears garlands. And therefore Krishna, first of all, the washerman came, and he dressed nicely, and then the weaver, who gave nice ornamental decorations to him, and then the garland followed. It's a nice sequence. And hence Prabhupada would say, nothing in Krishna consciousness happens by chance. Everything has a reason behind it. Nothing ever happens by chance. Things take place sequentially with a reason behind it. Even Krishna's pastimes, such pastimes. So, in this way, armed nicely with his garland, Krishna and Balaram, they progress further. But now, since they are entering the heart of Mathura, they come to the main road, the king's highway. And as they are passing along the king's highway, they meet a very interesting personality. This is the first lady that Krishna is meeting in Mathura. Her name is Trivakra. She is crooked in three places: her neck, her chest, and her waist. And because of that, she has a hunch on her back, and commonly people will call her Kubja. One who has a Kubja, who is a Kubad, who has a hump. The one who was born with a hump. Kubja. So as soon as she comes face to face with Krishna and Balaram, she's carrying nice sandalwood paste and different colored ointments with her for decorations. She is carrying them for decorating Kansa. These are Kansa's, meant for Kansa's service. But as soon as she sees Krishna and Balaram, she becomes attracted towards them. And she stops in front of them in a shy manner. Krishna says, "Who are you? And what is a lovely lady like you doing here? Can you explain your purpose?" And she immediately offers the sandalwood paste to Krishna and Balaram and says, "I want to offer you this." Chakravarti Thakur explains that Kubja or Trivikra is an expansion of Queen Satyabhama. Satyabhama is the incarnation, or Satyabhama personifies Bhu Shakti. Parasya Shakti, or Krishna has many Shaktis. The Bhu Shakti. And one of the manifestations of Bhu Shakti is Earth, Bhu Devi. The earth was very much pressurized by the vast armies and activities of the demons. She was very much depressed, suppressed by their activities. And therefore she had become crooked. Krishna had come to straighten her out. He had come to relieve the burden of the earth by killing Kansa and his cronies. Since she is naturally the expansion of Satyabhama, she offers it to Krishna. The natural affection is there, attraction is there. And when Krishna receives it, becomes very happy. And it is explained that the ointments are such that they embellish very nicely the features of Krishna. Krishna is darkish in color. So he puts on golden sandalwood paste that has got gold flavor in it, a gold tinge in it. And Balaram is white in color. he puts on sandalwood that is having blue tinge in it. And this way, like lordly elephants, they look very attractive. And Krishna, being pleased with her, he places both his feet, the tips of his toes, on Kubja's feet. And puts his fingers under her chin, like this. And gives her a jerk. And immediately she straightens out, indicating, very soon, Kansa and Pati are going to be straightened out now. Very soon, Mother Earth is going to be relieved of her burden. Kubja becomes very happy. Krishna has touched the weaver, but he has met his death. The washerman. Krishna has accepted from the weaver his offerings, but he has not contacted him directly. Krishna has accepted the offerings of Sudama the Brahman, but not contacted him directly. Here he touches Kubja. Directly, he has touched her on her feet and touched her on her chin. And Krishna's touch cannot go in vain. Immediately, intense attraction for Krishna in the mood of conjugal love awakens within Kubja's heart. Similarly, when Krishna touches the heart of a devotee, intense attraction will awaken within the heart of a devotee. Immediately, Krishna's touch has to be there. His mercy has to be there. So Kubja, she invites him to his house. Krishna accepts the invitation. It's a long parody between both of them. Very nicely, statements go back and forth. And then Krishna says, in the evening, after I finished my business, later on I'll come to your house. So Kubja, she takes her leave. Krishna travels forth. And when the people of Mathura, now they visualize Krishna, there is a series of verses again describing the effect that it has on them. And as Sukhdev Maharaj is explaining to Parikshit the effect that it has on the women of Mathura and the people of Mathura, immediately starts remembering the residents of Vrindavan and how Krishna would affect them also. And it is explained that since Sukhdev Maharaj is basically attached to Krishna's form as he shows in Vrindavan, and he is attached to the devotees who serve Krishna like that in Vrindavan, it is but natural that anywhere he goes, he somehow or the other connects it there. Somehow or the other comes back to that. And that is what is seen when a devotee awakens in natural affection to Krishna. Devotees would ask Prabhupada, what is the natural swarup? Can we know it? Can we follow that practice by which we can understand a swarup and act on that? Prabhupada said, just practice Krishna consciousness and automatically that affection that is there and the original relationship that one has with Krishna will awaken. And then it will become sthayi, it will stay there. And one will never divert to anything else other than that. Devotees, we see, why do we say, Sanatana Pranadhana He Jai Radha Madan Mohan, Rupa Goswamir Pranadhana He Jai Radha Gobinda. See, wherever they would go, they would remember their deities, the relationship that they had with that. Yes? So for Sukhdev Goswami, he cannot stay without immediately thinking of the residents of Vrindavan. Immediately, somehow or the other, the emotion just surge forth. And he says, just like the gopis, they also. And he goes on describing. That is the intense, that is rag, intense affection that one has when one develops one natural affection towards Krishna. One is totally Krishna conscious. By that time, because it was evening, Krishna and Balram come home. Home means wherever Nand Maharaj and the others are staying. And Nand Maharaj asked them, Krishna, what did you do? I'm sorry, please give me some moments. Okay, Trivikra. Oh yes, they did one more thing before that. Yes. Sorry, it is not still the end of the day. As after this, as they're walking down the street and the residents of Mathura are praising them, they went to the place where Kansa had kept the sacrificial bow. As it was explained in the previous class, he had arranged a sacrifice without any particular reason. So he needed something to show. So he kept a sacrificial bow. So Krishna, he went there and said, "Very nice, nice plaything here. Hey, thou, have you ever played with bows?" Shyamalan Prabhu mentioned, in Vrindavan, no bows and arrows. This is the first time that Krishna is coming in contact with the rustic ways of city life. This is very nice. Have you seen a bow? Thou says, never. Sudama, have you seen a bow? He says, no. Shridama, do you know what is a bow? He says, no. I'll show you what is a bow. So Krishna goes and lifts that plaything off. And there are guards all around. And they are like ready to charge on him. The only thing that stops them is they've already heard what he has done. So they're like, go. Somebody looks at, are you going? You'll go first. And they're ready to charge on him. And Krishna lifts the bow. And he says, very nice. And he ties this string. And he bends the bow so tightly, so strongly that it breaks in half. And the breaking of the bow that resounds all over the place, and even Kansa hears it. And indicates something to him. My sacrifice is not going properly. This bow should not have been broken. This bow was meant to break somebody else. So he gets an indication. Meanwhile, the breaking of the bow that breaks the stupor of the people around. Now they are faced with a dilemma. To challenge Krishna, about whom they have heard what he has done, or to follow Kansa's orders, whom they have seen what he has done. So the fear of Kansa, what they have seen, is greater. They do not have faith on hearing. They rely more on pratyaksha than shabda. And therefore, they are meant to be destroyed. Pratyaksha Hanuman, they cannot help one. One has to rely on shabda praman to advance in spiritual life. Isn't it? So they rush on Krishna. Krishna says, thou here, you take one. Why should I always alone do things, you know? Because thou always, he has the mood of protecting Krishna. So Krishna knows, thouji likes to do that. If I do it alone, then thou will not feel happy. So he says, you take one half, I'll take the other half. And both had a nice batting match there. They played a nice game. But in that game, people lost lives. They lost lives from the external point of view, but because they were killed at the hands of Krishna and Balaram, it was purifying. They were purified of the association of Kansa. So then, now they say, now it's enough. Krishna says, we've seen Mathura enough. We met the washerman. We met all the common people. We'll receive the glorious reception of so many others. We've broken Kansa's bow. We've intimidated him. It's dusk anyways. We are hungry also. Nobody offered any food till now. Let us go back. And Krishna, he's pakka Krishna conscious. He does not eat food outside. He will eat food only that has been cooked by Mother Jashoda or his pure devotee. So he comes back. He comes back and Mother Jashoda has packed nice eatables for him. Especially milk and rice. And she had kept it on top of the chariots because she knows Krishna will get hungry. And so he comes back. Nanda Baba says, yes, go and eat. So Krishna and Balaram with their friends sit down. And they have nice feast with the food that has been cooked by Krishna. So since we are supposed to be Krishna conscious, we follow Krishna. We don't eat outside. We only eat food that comes in the parampara of Mother Jashoda's cooking. That is Krishna consciousness. We aspire to follow that. So then Krishna takes rest. And Krishna is so nonchalant. He just goes and takes rest. And Dao takes rest. And Shridama takes rest. And Sudama takes rest. And Subal takes rest. But two people are not able to take rest. Two people are not able to take rest. Any guesses? Kansa, yes. Any other guess? Second one? Akrur, one. Any other guess? No. Okay, I have to give it. So, no crorepati, lost. Only 50% answered, so question. You do not get it. Nanda Maharaj. I could not hear, sorry. So, so maybe we'll give you a consolation prize. Nanda Maharaj could not sleep. Why? Because he heard what Krishna had done. And Nanda Maharaj was thinking, why did I get him along? I should have left him behind. A young boy, he does not know how to behave in a city. What will the king think? He'll become very angry. And so Nanda Baba could not sleep at night. What will the king do tomorrow? And Kansa could not sleep. And there are verses that describe Kansa's lack of sleep. When he looks into the mirror, he does not. He sees his reflection. Sometimes he does not see a reflection. Then he sees his reflection without a head. He goes to drink a glass of water. He sees Krishna within that. He sees the wind moving the curtains. And he calls, guards, Krishna is here. He sleeps and he sees himself sitting on a donkey going towards the southern direction. If we have dreams like this or parallel, because Kali Yuga, everything, you know, waters down. So dreams are also watered down. Going on a donkey is equivalent to going in a Cadillac car or something like that, you know. Because in the spiritual world, there are nice vimanas. The Pushpak Viman and things like that. Right, so, obviously we are Yukta Vairagis, so we use everything in Krishna's service, but we should not be attached. Otherwise, dreams can be dangerous like that. Sorry, that's my speculation, so you can edit it if you want. Anyways, so, Kansa is afraid and he cannot sleep like that. We are falling short of time. So the second day arrives, early morning. Kansa gets up. Things have already happened so much that Kansa says, enough is enough. Get to the sacrificial arena. Arrange everything. Decorate the Rangashala where the wrestling match is going to take place. Get all the wrestlers and send a message to Nanda Baba and the others to come. But Kansa, being a materialist, since Kansa is a materialist, he never gets up at Brahma Muhurta. Never. He always gets up when it is too late. Oh, he was not sleeping, obviously, but the others also. But Krishna always wakes up at Brahma Muhurta. And by his arrangement, Nand Baba and others are taking rest. He says, Baba has already suffered so much, and I'm going to do something more now. So let him take some rest for the time being. So he is woken up in the perfect time, and he's taking his bath and all those other things, the rituals that are to be followed. And that time he hears the preparations going on for the sacrifice, for the Rangshala's arrangement. He says, why don't we go and see what is happening? So these boys disappear. Nanda Baba immediately wakes up. What's happened? Where have these boys gone? Oh, these naughty boys, they have already left. Let us go and appease Kansa before he becomes more angry. So Nanda Baba, Upananda and others, they all go to Kansa Maharaj. And they offer their gifts to Kansa Maharaj. And Kansa Maharaj welcomes them. He respectfully welcomes them. And says, as if he's saying, I've heard what Krishna and Balaram have done. Don't worry. They're boys. Boys will be boys, you know, naughty boys. It doesn't matter. But now where are they? Why are they not with you? So Upananda, who is a nice diplomat, Upananda is a brother of, he knows some of the diplomatic, they have to be. Nanda Maharaj is simple, but the others, they know how to deal with this people. So he said, we have nice gifts for you here. Please take. So they offer Kansa gifts, hoping to please him so that he forgets where Krishna and Balaram are till Krishna and Balaram come themselves. And Kansa is very happy receiving their gifts. But then Kansa being Kansa, he just takes their gifts and sits quietly. And Chakratipat says, because Upananda and others, they are the king of Braja. They should be have given proper seats. But because they were not offered anything, Kansa did not say anything to them. They went and sat in the galleries. And thus, everyone from Vrindavan was sitting in the galleries. Kansa Maharaj with all his opulent friends was sitting in the main position. And the wrestlers were sitting on the wrestling mat waiting for Krishna and Balaram to come. And somebody was sent, find out these boys and get them. So then these boys come. And when they come in, they are welcomed, as Shyamananda Prabhu was saying, they are welcomed by this archway, which is being guarded by this elephant, Kuvalaya Peed. And I was discussing with him previously, and we tried to find out what is the meaning of Kuvalaya Peed. Kuvalaya means many, many things. It means a lotus. It means, it also means this planetary system. And Pida could mean, it means head. So obviously there are, we know the Shastra describes that the earth planet is carried by different elephants in different directions. So Kovalya Pida means a person who is very powerful, who can alone carry the burden of the earth. So this was a king of elephants. And by association, simply by staying in Kansa's palace and eating the anna that had been cooked in Kansa's palace, eating the food that had been cooked in Kansa's palace, although he was a king of elephants, he became demoniac in nature. Just by staying there and eating the food that had been given by Kansa. And therefore, when he came face to face with Krishna and Balaram, he was very angry, and the Mahout was sitting in front of him and they wanted to crush him. And Krishna had a nice game. How many of us have seen elephants? We have touched them. Have you seen their feet? Ever made an endeavor to go with under the feet, under the body and between the feet of elephants? Somebody has done. How long did you stay there? Krishna had a nice, you know, catching cook. Boys play catching cook, you know, catch. Catching either. He had a nice game of catching cook with this elephant. You catch me, see if you can catch me. And where would he run? He would run in between the legs of this elephant. And everyone was amazed. This Krishna is really amazing. He's running between the feet of the elephants. Now, if we understand our experience of elephants, then obviously it is amazing. People there really find it amazing. We will find it amazing if Krishna is doing that. And therefore, Krishna's pastime is amazing. Only thing is that we don't properly understand under the pastimes of Krishna. Yes, so it's amazing. And how is it amazing? The elephant is confused. The elephant has a huge body but small eyes. God's arrangement. So he can only see so much. So suddenly Krishna is not there, so he's looking for him. But long nose. And Bhagavatam explains that by the sense of smell, he's trying to find out where is Krishna. So sometimes he finds Krishna, holds him. Krishna says, all right, long time I've not had an elephant roll, you know, swing. So he may roll me, swing me for some time. Then he forcibly comes out. And the Kovalya Pida becomes confused. He says, never have I seen a person who comes in and then goes out. Therefore, Krishna in Braj is called Chaliya. You can never catch him. He's there and then he's lost again. And Kovalya Pida, he had an experience of it. The residents of Braja, they like Krishna as Chaliya. But Kovalya Pida, he hated him because of that. So then Krishna, after some time, again cut the story short, he decided he has to end. So then he simply went behind, took hold of his tail and started swinging him. And after swinging him, he dashed him to the ground and Kovalya Pida died. Then Krishna climbed onto his body, took out one tusk and said, thou, he gave an indication, thou. Thou said, I get your SMS. Short messaging system. The short message was immediately, Dao came and took out the other trunk. And both of them really had a nice bashing match with all the Mahouts and everyone else that was at Kovalya Pida. They killed him. Killed them, killed Kovalya Pida, really hit him also. And they were sprinkled with the blood drops and the perspiration. And then with one tusk here and the other tusk there, right? Krishna and Balaram entered the arena. Just like a sannyasi's danda, it means the danda signifies that he has conquered his senses, isn't it? Therefore, when a sannyasi handles us a danda, how do we walk? Now we feel we have also conquered our senses. But we are just servants. Right? So Krishna is showing the original mood. He takes the tusks and is walking like that. And enters the Rangashala of Kansa. And now Kansa has heard everything. So there, Chanur and Mushtik, the best of Kansa's wrestlers, are waiting. And they have nice dialogues. They say, Krishna, Chanur says, Krishna, tu mere liye. And Mushtik says, Balaram. And Chanur says, ye. He tells him, ye tere liye. To tu mere liye, or ye tere liye. It would be so nice if somebody could tell us, Krishna and Balaram, ye mere liye or ye tere liye. But in that saying, this Krishna, you fight with me, and Balaram, you are for me, Because there's envy towards Krishna. That mood, although they want to interact with Krishna, that mood is causing some karshan. It is causing something that is not very fitting in. So it is rasabhas there. That relationship is not very good. So everyone feels this is not a good match. And the description is in great detail. We'll cut it short. Ultimately, Krishna kills Chanura by hitting him on the chest. And Balaram says, "What is this? I was just enjoying this match, you know, just. Now you have finished with him, I have to finish with him." So how does Balaram kill him? Balaram throws him on the ground. And once he's killed, he embraces him and crushes him. And after that, he shouts, "Bahut samajhta tha apne aap ka." Bhagavatam says, no, Chakravarti Bhas says, he used nice choice words for him. And for those who will hear this in the international language, you can use your own choice words. You know, we have used the choice words that is here. So, seeing these two wrestlers dead, their friends, Kuta comes. And here Krishna shows his dexterity, his expertise. Perfect pose, perfect balance on the toes of one foot, Krishna lifts his other foot and hits Kuta on the head such 50-50. His cut from head to toe, just exactly as if Krishna was doing a drawing. You know, when we were small, we used to do some drawing. You have to draw exactly the same on the other side. Like that, Krishna, symmetrical drawing. He cut him 50-50. Sorry, Balaram did that. Balaram showed that. So Balaram, he likes this. So he showed Krishna, "I can also show some new tactics, you know, new style." So Krishna liked Balaram's style. So the next demons, Shala and Toshal, when they came, Krishna used the same style. He said, "Yadi yad ajariti shreshta tatta tevate rojana." Whatever great personalities like Balaram do, he's Adi Guru, so everyone follows Balaram. So he followed him and killed. So everyone was killed. Then Kansa became very angry and started raving and ranting. "Take away all the properties of this cowherd men and kill all of them and drive away these boys Krishna and Balaram out of Braj, and also kill my father Ugrasen." The same words, because he's raving mad, you know, a psychotic always does like that. He has a deep problem. So Krishna is a perfect psychiatrist. He knows how to cure psychotics. Nowadays they have all these ideas of psychotic, understand the psychiatric behavior and, you know, so many things. Krishna says, "My philosophy is this." So he gets up, says, "Kansa, wait, you don't come down to me, I will come up to you." So he climbs up to Kansa's dais. Kansa is very intelligent, although he's a psychotic, he's very intelligent. And psychotics are really intelligent sometimes. Kansa takes out his sword to fight with Krishna. Krishna fights with him very nicely and kills him. He throws him off the dais onto the ground. And just to convince everyone that Kansa is dead, Krishna drags his dead body all around the Rangashala, all along the wrestling ground. And then Kansa's brothers come and they are all killed. And in this way, everyone is killed. And seeing everyone killed, everyone is stupefied. Finished. It's like a good movie come to an end. You know, after a good movie comes to an end, you're like, finished. You see the presentation of the activities in Russia and devotees just watching. And then it comes the end and it's finished. So like that, some are stupefied. And those who are agnostic, they are beating their heads. What to do? What has happened? Then Krishna and Balaram, they go and free Vasudeva and Devaki. Vasu and Devaki have seen directly what Krishna and Balaram have done. So their mood of fraternal affection is not directly being manifested because of this sight. And therefore, because they are supposed to be the mother and father, they do not fall at their feet, but within their mind they are offering their obeisances to Krishna. And in this way, the second day of the tour of Mathura with Krishna and Balaram on their first journey to Mathura in their manifest pastime ends. And there is a wonderful verse which actually was the basis of what I was speaking today. And this verse is very famous. We know it by heart. But I would like you to repeat with me if you can. Malla nama shanir. Ninam naravara. Strinam smaromurtiman. Gopanam swajano satam. Chitibhujam shasta. Swapitro shishu. Mrityur bhojapater virada vidusham. Tatvam param yoginam. Vrishni nam paradevateti. Vidito rangam gata sagrajaha. This explains how the people in Mathura reacted to Krishna's presence. And why this is important is because as devotees, depending on how we have cultivated our devotional service, we will react to Krishna's presence on Janmashtami or any other appearance day. There are some people who are agnostic towards Krishna, four categories, and six, there are 10 categories here, and six are favorable towards Krishna. And each one of them has a relationship with Krishna. The wrestlers, those who are the avidusham, they have a relationship with Krishna. They are attracted to him. But the attraction is in the mood of anger. What has he done? How has he done this? So there is Raudra there. The Raudra Ras. It is Rasabhas. And Kansa, he's fearful. Attracted to Krishna. Thinking of Krishna always fearful. So Bhayanak Ras. And the priests who after seeing Kansa's death, they become very much amazed, but they are decrying Krishna, so they are in Vibhatsaras. Whereas the other rasas are Hasya, Vatsalya and so on. So according to one's tendency, that is the relationship with which one will relate to Krishna. It is very important that one understands that when Krishna comes face to face with us, if you are not prepared, rasa bhas may take place. As it took place with the weaver, as it took place with the wrestlers, as it took place with so many else. Or an anukul, a proper relationship will develop if we have prepared very nicely. So Janmashtami, since as I said, what does it leave for me? Because at death, one can remember the appearance of Krishna throughout one's life. Every moment one can remember Krishna. How to remember Krishna when Krishna appears? And the preparation for that is very, very important. So here we'll stop. Thank you very much. This was standing under Krishna's pastimes. Hare Krishna.